The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I knew this was coming. I got rumbles of it early this morning, and the Washington Post is breaking this story. Is it true or not? I don't know, but the Washington Redskins have more to worry about than changing their name. And in fact, this could be one of the reasons why they so quickly succumb to pressure to change their name. Here is the breaking news alert from the Washington Post. This came like 2 minutes ago. 15 women who worked for Redskins alleged sexual harassment by former scouts and members of owner Daniel Snyder's inner circle. The allegations raised by the women span most of Daniel Snyder's tenure as owner, running from 2006 to 2019. Over the past week, the Washington Post presented detailed allegations and findings to the club. Three team members accused of improper behavior abruptly departed, including Larry Michael, the club's longtime radio voice, and Alex Santos, the team's director of pro personnel. They quit, took off when they were approached with these allegations. The Washington Post this morning said that they had a bombshell. Now, that term is, talk about a term that is overused in the media. But this morning they were hinting that they were going to release a bombshell this afternoon. And don't know all of the details, but 15 women have made some very serious allegations about leadership in the management circle of the Washington Redskins. This story is going to have legs. This is not going to go away. Where it's going to lead, I don't know, but pretty serious stuff. And some are implying that that's why they were so quick to cave in on changing the name. They didn't want any more controversy than they could handle. So anyway, that is that's breaking news out of Washington. 15 women have made some pretty serious allegations of sexual nature concerning the ownership team and people employed by the Washington Redskins, including their longtime radio voice, their radio spokesperson. So, wow. And then there is this. A writer for Rolling Stone magazine, and most of you know that Rolling Stone magazine is far, far left. And what do we know about the far, far left? They destroy everything they touch. Well, here is the latest attack from the left. If you are pro-life, you're a racist. And a senior writer for Rolling Stone magazine says the term pro-life needs to be prohibited, just like Redskins and other terms, names that have gone by the wayside. No, I'm not making this up. Here's the story. Rolling Stone senior editor... Rolling Stone senior writer Jamil Smith said that the word pro-life has so often been used in service to racism and misogyny that it should be retired, just like the name Redskins. He made the comment on Twitter while responding to incendiary comments made by Bishop Talbert Swain against pro-life voters. Among other things, this senior writer for Rolling Stone said, COVID has revealed how the pro-life movement is killing us. Okay, pro-life movement is killing us. Yeah. He went on, this point cannot be emphasized enough or too often. The moniker pro-life, so often used in the service of not just misogyny, but also racism. Now, in anyone's wildest imagination, how has pro-life been used as a symbol of racism? The pro-life movement has tried to point out that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a flaming racist. She believed that black people were like weeds that shouldn't be allowed to reproduce. She believed that they were inferior. And that's why her big emphasis on birth control in the black community. She didn't want those weeds reproducing. We need to get rid of them because they're inferior. Her reasoning concerning black people is almost identical to the reasoning of Adolf Hitler wanting to get rid of the Jews and others. Now, I don't throw around that Hitler thing very lightly. You know, some people, it's like Hitler. No. Hitler was a horribly, unbelievably evil man, but so was Margaret Sanger. But according to this senior writer for Rolling Stone, the moniker pro-life, so often used in the service of not just misogyny but also racism, should be retired along with Aunt Jemima and the Redskins team name. So the senior writer for Rolling Stone honestly wants to do away with the term pro-life. You know, we've said this so many times in the last few weeks with this whole cancel culture. Where will it end? And the answer is there is no end. Pro-life, racist. The people that are trying to defend black babies from being murdered are racist. And the organization founded by a woman who wanted to destroy the black race, they're not racist. Wow. And then there's this. I keep saying everything the liberal left touches, they destroy. In San Francisco, they have a horrible homeless problem, as most of you know. Have a terrible homeless problem. Well, when the whole COVID-19 thing hit San Francisco, the officials in San Francisco said, well, we got to do something about the homeless. We just can't leave them out there with a cold COVID-19. So they had the brilliant idea of using government money, San Francisco city money, to house homeless people in San Francisco's empty hotels. I mean, tourism is down because of the whole COVID-19 thing, so a bunch of the hotels were empty. So why not put a bunch of homeless people in the hotels and just pay for all of their expenses? So get this. They decided to take people who were defecating and urinating all over the streets in San Francisco. Almost everybody is aware of the horrible problem they've had in San Francisco with the defecating, urinating all over the city streets and so forth. They take those people and put them into hotel rooms and pay for all their expenses. And since many of them are alcoholic and drug addicts, San Francisco decided to provide drugs and alcohol because we didn't want them to go through the bins. They didn't want them to go through the problems of coming off of alcohol and drugs. Seriously? Yeah, seriously. Well, a San Francisco newspaper editor has said the policy has been absolutely a disaster. Quote, and again, this is a newspaper reporter from San Francisco. It's solving exactly nothing, and as a matter of fact, it's making all the problems worse. The situation inside the hotels is, and I'm quoting, is as bad as you can imagine, only exponentially worse. You're talking drug-fueled parties, overdoses, people are being assaulted. You have sexual assaults going on. It is absolute pandemonium. It is extremely bad. City officials secured close to 5,000 rooms at city hotels that signed up to house homeless and other members of at-risk populations. Quote, controversy ensued after the city provided alcohol, marijuana, and methadone to homeless addicts residing at the hotels. Then the reporter said the people who were assigned to watch these people are not disaster workers. These people are librarians, paper pushers, administrators who are reassigned to these hotels, and they have no idea how to handle the situation. Yeah. That is the liberal left handling both the homeless situation and the COVID-19 situation. And it is an absolute disaster. And people are suffering more than if they were out on the street.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
I have no idea where the last 2.5 hours have gone, but we're coming close to shore and to in today's broadcast. But we cannot leave before we talk to Preston down in Cincinnati. Hey, Preston, you're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing real good, real good. How about yourself?
I am well blessed. Thank you.
It seems like, to me, we're losing the war on the racism thing. And I think if we might switch and change gears and start using biblical terms like, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And let those people of whatever race they are, color, ethnic group, that I'm not, it's not a person of color fighting against a person that's not of color, but it's the enemy that's causing the war. We're using terms like it's a race war, and really it's a spiritual war. And maybe some of those people that's in darkness might come to light if we start, if we use the biblical words and terms like Margaret Sanger. She just hated people. And yes, she did hate people of color, just like Hitler did and with the Jews. But we have to, I think we have to not buy into their terms and use their terms, use these biblical terms, and maybe some of them will see the light will come on in their hearts and in their minds. What do you think?
I agree, Preston. It is difficult to reach the balance that you're talking about. It's essential, but it is really hard to not use the terms that we are surrounded with and not deal with those that are trying to divide us. You know?
Yeah.
And it's hard. It is really hard, Preston. And that's why I said earlier in the program today, I tread into these issues. I don't tread in lightly, but I tread very, very cautiously because, man, I don't want to be a source of division in any way. I want to be a source of unity and reconciliation,
right.
Not division.
Right.
So I am open to any suggestions as to how we can better frame the argument. And
I think an example would be back at the Democratic Convention when they said, we don't want God, we don't want Israel.
Yeah.
And you got Democrats of all race, all the races, and Republicans the same way, but mainly the Democrats, because they made the statement, we don't want God, we don't want Israel.
Right.
Could build on that, and just because that's the foundation of things. We don't want God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't care. When we get in front of him, he's not going to say, by you being a person of color, you not being a person of color and all that stuff. He's not going to care about that. He's going to wonder, did you treat that person of color the way I want, in my word said to treat them?
Yeah.
That's what's going to matter. And I think if we switch gears and started addressing things as light versus darkness, I think we'll get a little more traction.
I think that's excellent, Preston. I do. I think that's excellent. And those that are trying to divide us, whether they're on the right or the left, whether they're white, whether they're black, they are opposing the plan that God has to redeem mankind and to make us one. That's God's plan.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've heard a lot of pastors take God's word and twist it to make something sound right
and
wrong.
Yeah.
And they mess that all up and and say things that God is not saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's why we need to stay in that word so we can keep a clean heart, a clean mind, and we can see that counterfeit when it's thrown out there.
Amen. Good thoughts, Preston. I always enjoy your calls. Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
I appreciate
it.
All right. God bless. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I love that man. I'd love to meet him. We've never met, to my knowledge. Hey, folks, let's be messengers of truth and love. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. But please, wherever you go and whatever you do, remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.